Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to John chapter 15, but also I'd like you to find Isaiah chapter 5. So we're going to start in John 15, but we're going to make our way over to Isaiah chapter 5. And while you're finding John 15, I do want to welcome everybody here in the house, and thank you for being with us today. I want to welcome all of our guests who are here today. Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome people joining us at Lighthouse Online, whether you're in Hancock County or maybe you're somewhere a little bit further away. Super glad every one of you are here with us. And in fact, hey, Lighthouse family, can you do me a favor, and can we just welcome all of our guests who are in-house as well as Lighthouse Online and let them know that we're glad that you're with us today? Because you could have been anywhere, and you chose to be here, and that means a lot to us. So thank you for that. So we are in this series called In Christ, and we've been journeying through John 15, looking at verses 1 through 17. Last week, we talked about how to remain in Christ. What does that even look like, and how do you do that? So we're just unpacking that when we truly remain in Christ, the Holy Spirit and the Father begin to do remarkable work in our lives that we could never manufacture on our own. And so we're just working through that passage for the next few weeks. Now, a quick context about this passage before we start teaching on it is that in John 15, Jesus is hours away from being arrested, put on trial, tortured, abused, killed on the cross, buried in a tomb, and then is raised from the dead 3 days later. After that, he appears in bodily form to many, many people over the next few weeks until on one day he ascends to heaven. And so in this conversation of John 15, one of the things that Jesus is helping the disciples to understand is this: how do you stay with someone who leaves? Right? Because essentially Jesus is leaving because of his death. Now he does resurrect and come back to life, but then he leaves by ascending to heaven. And so the question that Jesus really is answering, how do you stay with someone who leaves? They know how to go with him in the world and in the flesh because they can go. They just walk with him. If they follow where he goes, but they can't, right? Jesus says that at one point, where I'm going, you can't go right now. And so in John 15, Jesus is answering the question, how do you stay with somebody who leaves? So we're in John 15, and we're going to read through these passages together, starting with, I am the true vine. I'm going to read. You can follow along on your version or on the screen. It says this: I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, Jesus is simply making the point. Last week we talked about the fact that branches remain to the vine. That's how they stay alive. Now we're kind of focusing on this idea of bearing fruit. And what Jesus is saying is that it is natural for branches that are connected to the vine to bear fruit. It just happens. It's natural. And what he's saying is it's the same thing for disciples. It is natural for disciples of Jesus, for followers of Jesus Christ, to bear fruit. Those who remain in him, those who are connected to him, it is natural for them to bear fruit. And so we're going to be talking about this idea of bearing fruit. But before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and pray. So let's do that. God, we do thank you that this morning we have the opportunity to very clearly see that when we remain in you, you begin doing remarkable work, supernatural work that we would never be able to accomplish on our own without you. And so my prayer for myself and for my friends and my family here today is, would you open our eyes and our ears as well as our hearts to really receive the truth of what it means to remain in you and start to see the natural outflow of a life that's being transformed by Jesus. May you do all of that and more in us and through us, we pray, in the great name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so Jesus is talking about this idea of fruit. He keeps talking about bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit. What I find very interesting in John 15 is Jesus keeps using that phrase again and again, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. And he's very ambiguous. In fact, in John 15, he does not clarify, right, explicitly what that fruit is. It's not in there. And so there's a level where if you've read that passage before and you're going, well, what is the fruit, right? Like, Jesus, what is the fruit that's in there? Because I don't know exactly what you're talking about in John chapter 15. I think it was being ambiguous on purpose, partly because if we go throughout the rest of the New Testament, you begin to see that this idea of bearing fruit actually is defined very, very clearly. And there's two ways that the New Testament describes this fruit that Jesus talks about in John chapter 15. The first one, I'm going to tell you what they are, and then we're going to unpack them. The first fruit that's talked about in the New Testament is life change. That's the first one. The second fruit that's talked about in the New Testament is tied to that, but it's a little bit different. It's people who say yes to Jesus as their forgiven leader. So those are the two primary ways that fruit is talked about in the New Testament: life transformation, and then people who say yes to Jesus as their forgiver and leader by faith. Let's talk about the life change here for just a moment. When you start to look throughout the New Testament, and you just look up the word like fruit or bear fruit or things like that, one of the first passages that pops up is Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. And this is John the Baptizer is teaching by the river. He's baptizing people. He sees the Pharisees, who are very, very religious, right? They're following all the rules. They show up to synagogue every Saturday. These are very good citizens, religious people. And yet when he looks at them, this is what he says: produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is a key indicator of what fruit is: repentance. This is a central part of life change in the life of a believer. Repentance is simply this: it's a change of heart. That's repentance. It's a change of heart. What it is it's realizing that I am walking in opposition to God, and seeing that that is a zero-sum game, right? That's a pitch in the dirt. That is a waste of my life to pursue sin and let it have its rule over me. And so repentance is turning away from sin, turning away from self-centeredness, life without God, and making a 180-degree turn in which I turn to God. I now begin to live a life under the leadership of Jesus by faith. By grace, I'm now walking with God. I'm living a God-centered life. I'm living an others-focused life. That's what repentance is. And John the Baptizer said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So that's a big part of what life change is. Now, if you continue looking through the New Testament, you'll find other passages that talk about fruit as well. And for those of you who have read the Bible regularly, maybe when we started talking about fruit, there was another passage that came to your mind almost immediately. It wasn't in Matthew, but it was one of Paul's letters. And it's what was the one that probably came to your mind first? It was the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, that's right. So in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23, it's listed out the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you guys have this memorized, by the way. That should be 5, not 3. Don't go to 3, you'll find something else. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Some of you guys have all 9 of these memorized. But Paul wrote, he says, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then I love how the Holy Spirit led him to finish that. Against such things, there's no law. And so what he's saying is, like, when this kind of a lifestyle begins to grab hold of you, you don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to be afraid of somebody catching you being loving or being patient. You have to be afraid of people catching you stealing or gossiping or doing things you shouldn't be doing. He says, this kind of stuff, this is normal. This is what actually life in the kingdom should look like. And I love what it says. This is the fruit. Notice that that's singular. It's not pick your favorite one and develop that the most that you can. Actually, in the life of a believer, all of these should become more and more evident in our life. This is life change, right? Now, we like to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's right, right? Scripture talks about that. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, what are we really talking about? We're talking about, like, well, probably the attitude of Christ, right? This describes Jesus. Jesus was loving. Jesus was full of joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, all of that stuff. We're talking about the attitude of Christ. And we're talking about the character of God. That's what this is. So I want you to see, the fruit of the Spirit is not this separate thing that's out there off on its own. But in fact, what Paul is doing is just giving another way to understand the attitude of Christ and the character of God. And this is what Jesus transforms our lives into. So do you see that when you look through the New Testament, and by the way, there are many, many other examples in the New Testament that point to the reality that fruit is life change. And so that's really important. That's one aspect of the fruit that Jesus invites us to bear. Now, there was another part of the fruit that we had talked about as well. And we said it was people saying yes to Jesus as a forgiver and leader by faith and by grace. And so that is as much fruit as is life change in our own lives. Now, if you look at, there's a passage in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, that actually says this. We can go to that one. It says, the same good news, this is Paul writing as well to believers in Colossae. He says, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. Now check this out. It is bearing fruit everywhere. How? By changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace, right? And so what Paul is saying, he goes, listen, as we're sharing the gospel in other areas of the world, other people are coming to faith in Jesus, and the gospel is bearing fruit, right? And so one of the parables Jesus used was actually the parable of soils. And he said, when the word gets planted into good soil, it produces a crop. It bears fruit. And not only bears 1-to-1, but it actually bears 1-to-30, 1-to-60, and 1-to-100. And he's talking about additional people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And so when you look at the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, you see that this happened, right? So you had the disciples, they're hiding in the upper room. Jesus says, right, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when he does, you will be my witnesses, right? It's going to happen. So Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends, fills the believers. What happens that day? Peter preaches probably one of the clearest sharings of the gospel, and 3,000 people came to faith that day, right? That's fruit. But it's not just in the multitudes, right? If you look later in the book of Acts, you see Cornelius and the people of his household coming to faith. That's fruit. You see the Philippian jailer coming to faith when God miraculously frees Paul and Silas. That's fruit. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, that is fruit, right? This is what it is to bear fruit when people are remaining in Christ. It's natural for believers to share the gospel with others, and then those people who are open and receptive, the Holy Spirit then changes their lives too. And so I wanted you to see that this fruit that Jesus talks about is twofold. It's life change in me personally, but it's also other people coming to faith in Jesus as well. Now, this is really important, and Jesus makes this point in the passage. You can't bear fruit on your own. That's a really important truth you have to understand. You can't bear fruit on your own by yourself without Jesus. At least and definitely not the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about, because one of the things he says in verse 16 is it's fruit that lasts. Right? What I think we can do is, I think on our own, sometimes we can bear fruit that's temporary. Right? Like, you know, some, right? Think about this. However many, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I would have to raise my hand as well. Right? How many of us made, you know, New Year's resolutions? I'm going to do this. Okay, some of you already know where I'm going with this, right? It's like March 23rd. Why did you have to bring that up, Fritz? Right? That was not a good resolution. Okay, here's why. You know, it's like we're not even like fully 3 months into the year and we've already quit, right? Jesus said when there's fruit that come that I bring, it's actually fruit that lasts. And so we can't do that on our own. We need Jesus to bear fruit, to produce fruit in our lives. And here's what I've got to tell you. This is not about being more disciplined. This is not about coming up with better habits, discovering life hacks, anything. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about bearing fruit. Because you have to understand this. You can't out-habit a sinful heart. You can't out-discipline a prideful spirit. You need to be changed by Jesus. It starts from the inside, and then it makes its way out. You can't start from the outside and hope that it makes its way in. It doesn't last. It doesn't hang around. That's not the kind of fruit that Jesus was talking about. And so, and you can't make people come to faith, right? You can't force people to come to faith. You can't guilt them. You can't manipulate them into coming to faith. When somebody says yes to Jesus, that is a supernatural work. When you get to witness somebody saying yes to Jesus for the first time, you just witnessed a supernatural miracle. And you can't make that happen. I can't make that happen, right? And so we only bear fruit by staying connected to the vine. Now, some of you might know this, you might not know this, but actually in Isaiah chapter 5, God sings a song about his vineyard. And I think it's very, very telling for us about how things went with that vineyard and how things can go in our lives as well. This is what it says. It says, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Now what God's saying is, I've done everything. I've done everything necessary for the vineyard to be healthy and to produce. And then look what it says. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it only yielded bad fruit. Now, when you go on in the next couple of passages, God says things like, what else could I have done? And he lists all the things that he had already done. And then he gets to verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. God is saying, I've done everything, and yet Israel did not choose to remain in me. They kept wandering. They chased after the idols and gods of other nations. When they had the opportunity, they rejected me as king, and they wanted their own human king. Right? All along the way, Israel keeps choosing self and keeps choosing other things besides God. Now, I want to give you a little bit of hint about the Old Testament. One of the things we talk about often here is that the Old Testament is a shadow or a dimly lit picture of what was going to be when Jesus showed up. That is true. At the same time, the Old Testament also sheds great, great light on our own hearts and the condition that we come in. Here's the point of the Old Testament. You see this again and again and again. That Israel, on their own, could not keep the law. They couldn't do it. You see it again and again. Testimony after testimony, book after book, verse after verse. Israel simply couldn't do it. That's part of the point of the Old Testament, is that Israel couldn't do it on their own, and neither can you. And neither can I. We can't just be better people on our own. It's not possible, right? What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do 95% of things? No. No things. You can do no things. And what he's talking about is things that matter. Things like genuine life transformation. Things like people being saved from their sin and transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. So then the question naturally gets begged, right? Well, then how do I bear fruit? How does that even take place? And Jesus answers it. He says this, you only bear fruit in me. There's no other way. You only bear fruit in Christ. And when you think about the life and the ministry of Jesus, right? Jesus showed up into our world. He lived. He bore fruit by living the perfect human life. He bore fruit by teaching with exquisite clarity the character of God and what the kingdom of God looked like. He bore fruit by healing people, both physically, spiritually. He bore fruit by taking on full and final payment for every single one of our sins, for all people, for all time. He bore fruit by dying in our place. He bore fruit by being resurrected from the dead 3 days later. He bears fruit today by still being alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when he returns one day, he calls all fruit to himself. Right? Jesus is it. And so what that means is that now the only way that you and I can produce good fruit, fruit that lasts, is in Christ. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to see that in your life. So I think the natural next step for you and for me is this, to think about the action step, right, is this. Let Jesus produce his fruit in your life. Let Jesus produce his fruit in your life. Now, before we walk through some things, there's something we have to talk about, and it's this. There is a passive nature to bearing fruit, right? Meaning it happens to you, but there's also an active nature to bearing fruit, meaning it's something that you do. Right? So it's not an either or, right? It's not that you jump into the river of faith and you get on your inner tube and you just float down and whatever happens, happens, and God just makes things go on in your life. But it's also not the other side that you got to figure out how to be a better person and get more disciplined, and that's the only way that this type of fruit comes into your life. It's a little bit like gardening. Do we have any gardeners in the house? Raise your hand if you are a gardener and like you can actually grow stuff. Do we have? Like four people are, oh my goodness. Well, listen, Christina, we're in the same boat. We can't grow anything either, okay? So if our food economy fails, I was counting on you to help me, but we're all in trouble. Do you see this? Somebody, Lord, we need some skills in this house. So maybe our online community, like, yeah, type in there if you can garden and grow things. But like, we can't. Okay, we have tried. We've got the little starters in our house, and we put them under the hamburger warmer to, you know, in the wintertime, and then we put them in, take care of the soil. We cultivate. We plant them. We water them. We feed them. We change their diapers. We do everything we can for these plants, and we can't grow anything. We're in trouble, right? And our neighbor, like, they're bringing over, like, they got zucchinis coming out their ears, and they don't know what to do with it. I guess we're washing our face with zucchinis, kids. But, right, but what's amazing to me about those, you people who can cause things to grow, you also know there's a layer, like, yeah, I did the soil, I did whatever, and yet there's a point where you almost just show up one day and there's like tomatoes hanging off the vine, right? You show up and there's like peppers, right? You figure at some point the zucchinis have gotten close to the rabbits because there's thousands of them, like, everywhere, and it's out of control. It just happens, right? There's some things you do, but then it just happens. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 talk about that, right? Paul writes this. By the way, it's the same verse, one thought. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so you see the active side. He's saying, listen, there are things for you to do, okay? There's actions for you to take. But look at verse 13. For it is God. Actually, let's read this one out loud together, starting with "for it is God." Are you ready? Go. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And so the very next thought is, and God's the one that's causing you to do this. In one verse, right, in one thought, you have the active nature of growing in Christ, but also the passive nature in which God is the one who's empowering you to do this, right? And so what Paul is writing here, he says, listen, remain in Christ. Do that. Pursue maturity in Christ. Do that. And at the same time, know that it is God strengthening you. It is God in energizing you. It is God creating in you the longing to want to do these things. Do you see? It's not, so somebody asked a question, well, who's responsible for my spiritual growth? Is it God or is it me? Or who participates in my spiritual growth? Is it God or is it me? The answer is yes, right? You see this all throughout the New Testament. The Spirit of God speaks, and the disciples step. The Holy Spirit leads, the disciples respond. So it's not just hang out and God will do whatever, but it's also, this isn't all on you to figure out on your own. We become increasingly sensitive to the leading of God in our lives, and this is how Jesus begins to bear fruit in our lives. So what I want to spend for the next few minutes that we have left is I want to talk about what are the active things that you and I can be doing to, right, where we're trusting, where we're relying on God who's doing things in our lives. Here's the first one. We got to remain in Christ, right? This is verse 1, verse 2 of John 15. You got to remain in Christ. You just have to be there. We talked about that last week, so I can't go through all of that. If you missed last week, I would really encourage you to go back, watch that, listen to it. But this idea of remaining in Christ, it's the reality that I've put my faith in the true vine, and I've repented of the false vines. I look to Jesus as my source for everything, right? All things. And I just simply remain, no matter what. I refuse to leave no matter what. But it always starts, if you're going to bear fruit, it always starts with faith in Christ. You cannot get there bypassing Jesus, right? You can't take the loop around him and get to that same place. The only way is through faith in him. That's the starting place. By the way, that's the first yes. We use that language here, right? We say yes to Jesus' leadership in our lives. This is the first yes that we talk about. Yes to him as forgiver and as leader. But then there's more yeses after that. If you look at like verse 7, Jesus says this, if my words remain in you, right? If my words remain in you, how do we remain in his word? Maybe better, what? How do we allow his word to remain in us? We're talking about reading scripture. That's another yes, by the way. Saying yes to regularly letting the scriptures transform and renew my mind, to discovering truth about who God is, learning the fruit of the Spirit, the identity of Christ, the character of God. You only find that in the scriptures. And so there's a yes. And I'm reading by faith. And as I'm reading, the Spirit is changing my mind and he begins to bring things to my remembrance later. So reading scripture. There's another one in verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 7 and verse 16, Jesus says this. He says, ask anything and it will be done for you. Some of y'all read that verse. You start rubbing your hands together. It's right there. It's biblical. Ask anything. There's a pesky little phrase that Jesus put in there on purpose, and it's this. Ask anything in my name. What does that mean? What's one of the fruit that's born of a vine or a branch that's connected to the vine. It's that we become more like Christ. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We grow in the identity of Christ. We grow in the character of God. And so what Jesus is saying is, like, this is not a blank check. Ask for whatever you want. But rather, this is a ask. You learn to ask for those things that are in the character of Jesus. They're in his name. You ask for things that are totally in alignment with the will of God and his character and his priorities and not just mine, right? That's what that's talking about. And so perhaps that makes prayer far more linked to Scripture, because how do I ask for the things of God if I don't know the God of the Scriptures? The other thing is, it would also mean that perhaps prayer might be far more about listening and letting the Spirit bring me in alignment to the character of will and God, to the character and the will of God, than it is me asking for the laundry list of things that I really want God to do in my life that I think are very important. When you begin to look at it in that way, it actually begins to change the nature of prayer remarkably. And by the way, that's another yes. To go to the Father, to go to Jesus in prayer again and again and again is a way to say yes. Here's the last thing that Jesus talks about is if you want to bear fruit, we do this in community. This is something you can actively do. We do this in community. That's another yes, by the way. Have you ever heard, there's a newer translation of the Scripture out. Have you heard of the y'all version? Have you heard of this? Yeah, have you heard of this? Okay. So what they did, my son Levi found this for me, and he shared it with me not too long ago. And he's like, Dad, you got to check this out. This is y'all version of the Bible, right? I was like, okay. So what they do is they actually, so there's the word you, Y-O-U, the word you often can be seen singularly in the New Testament, talking about like you right there. But actually in the New Testament, overwhelmingly, the yous that we read are y'all. Right? All y'alls, youins, right? Everybody. That's the you. And so sometimes we misinterpret Scripture because we think Jesus is talking to me, but in fact, he's talking to us. And so what I appreciate about the y'all version is they help us see that. And so let's look at just John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8 really quick. And here's what it says. It says, I'm the vine. And this is Jesus' words, by the way, okay? I'm the vine. Y'all are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in them bears much fruit. For apart from me, y'all can do nothing, right? If anyone doesn't remain in me, that person is like a branch that's thrown out and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If y'all remain in me and my words remain in y'all, ask whatever y'all want and it will be done for y'all. In this, my Father is glorified, that y'all bear much fruit, showing that y'all are my disciples. That's, yeah. Some are like south of the Mason-Dixon line, like, finally, a version I can understand, all right? But listen, do you notice, overwhelmingly, that whole passage, it's to everybody. It's to all y'all. It's to us together. Guys, we don't do, it's not this me and Jesus by myself and I'm going to figure it out on anybody else. No, it's we walk this thing out together. I would draw your attention to one verse that was in there. I think it was verse 6. That passage is the one passage that's in there that says the branch and that person, if they don't remain in me, they wither. It was in the singular, right? Like, we're not meant to do life. We're not meant to walk with Jesus alone. We're actually meant to do that with one another. And so part of bearing fruit is walking with other believers together. And the last thing I would say is this. Some of you have to understand this too, not only the community thing, but one of the most spiritual things some of you might do is actually in about 3 weeks is to sign up for a small group. That could be the one thing that could start changing your life remarkably, is you stop trying to do this thing by yourself. But there's one other thing that I want to share that I think we overlook, and it's this. When it comes to bearing fruit, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes time to bear fruit. If, like, ask one of your farmer friends someday after they've planted, if you can go out to their field and watch their crops grow. And you should. You should go out to their field, pull off the side of the road, and just sit there and watch their crops grow. What do you think you will see if you sit there for 30 minutes, 3 hours, an entire day? What if you sat there and stared at it for 3 days? It's almost imperceptible, right? You would say nothing's happening, nothing's taking place, and yet everything's taking place. There's this miracle of growth that almost seems imperceptible to the eye, and yet at one point you're going to give up, you're going to walk away, you're going to drive away, and then you'll show back up like a week or 2 weeks later, and that thing is like knee high. And you're going, when did that happen? I think there's a lot of truth to that for those of us who are walking in Christ. There are some things that God has transformed in your life immediately. There are some people who you shared the gospel with one time and they came to faith. And yet, if we were transparent and vulnerable with each other, we would be able to list off a number of things in each of our own lives that we are agonizing over, that it seems like Jesus has not changed yet. God, why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still wrestling? Why is this still apparent in my life? Are you doing anything? And the answer is yes. Yes, he is. You trust the process. You give it time. Some of you have friends, you have family members you've been praying for, you've been sharing the gospel. They're not coming to faith. They're not saying yes. You're going, God, do you even care? Are you even doing anything? And the answer is yes. It was 11 years from the time I came to faith and started praying for my dad to come to faith to when he crossed the line and he came to faith. 11 years. And there were times where I was giving up, going, God, he's never going to come to faith. And in the winter of 2007, he did, right? And I'm not saying God's going to do everything in that kind of a way, but I am saying this, is that God knows how to grow things, including you, including the people that you love. And so trust Jesus to produce his fruit in your life and in the lives of those around you. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We take a moment at the end of every teaching to simply ask this question, which is, Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And then I just want to give you an opportunity to listen to what he has to say to you. God, my prayer is this, that you would solidify in our minds, our spirits, and our hearts, that we can do nothing if we don't remain in you. And that the fruit that we enjoy, the fruit that other people enjoy of our lives, is not of our own doing, but it is a gift. It is the outflowing. It is the real result of a person who has chosen to remain in Christ and to stay with Christ and know that Christ is keeping them. And I pray that believers would be remarkably fruitful. Not because of our own efforts, but because you're leading the way and we're responding in faith and in trust. One of the things we love to do as a family is to pray for each other. And so what's going to happen is the band is going to come up and they're just going to sing one more song. It's not very long. But during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available to pray with you about anything at all. And so we'll have a prayer leader up here by the front doors in the corners of the room. We'll also have two prayer leaders back by the sound booth. And they are available to pray with you about absolutely anything at all, anything at all. And you don't have to be a member to receive prayer. And please don't ever be embarrassed or ashamed to want to receive prayer, because all of us need prayer, right? Like, I need prayer, you need prayer. Every single one of us. We saw this morning in hosting, Larry needs prayer, right? Like, we all need prayer. And so this is just a moment where we can minister and we can serve one another in a very profound way. So I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to start making their way to their locations to be ready to receive people in prayer. I'm going to ask you, if you're here in the house, let's stand together as we transition into a time of singing. And then if you'd like to receive prayer, we would love to pray with you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would absolutely love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.